This is our theme for the whole year. All of us, all in, all the time. And what I've been doing is looking at different Bible characters, particularly New Testament Bible characters. We have been looking at their lives and hopefully learning from them. As we see their life, we can come to a better understanding of what it means to be all in with Jesus, all in with God's plan. And rather than just listing all of those that we've looked at so far, I want to mention to you last week, we looked at Andrew, Peter's brother, and I mentioned to you that there are just 12 verses in the Bible that mention Andrew's name. And yet, from those 12 verses, and maybe you would want to look on our website and find that sermon from last Sunday, there, from those 12 verses, there are a lot of things that we can learn about Andrew and what it means to be all in with Jesus. Well, today is quite a different story because we're looking at Andrew's brother, Peter, and there's so much material about Peter. In fact, I'm thinking it's not a stretch to say that there is more information about Peter, more stories about Peter, than if you took all of the other disciples and put it all together, Peter, there's more information about him than all of those others put together. And it would be easy to give emphasis to the negative side of Peter, because there's a lot of that in Scripture. You know, Peter's the one who denied Jesus three times, right there before Jesus was put to death. And it was Peter who lost it in the Garden of Gethsemane. He drew a sword and cut off the fellow's ear. You remember that? Malchus, I think it was his name, the high priest's servant. And I am quite sure that Peter wasn't aiming for his ear. He was wanting to cut the guy's head off. And the guy was quick to duck. And he lost his ear. And we could talk about the time when Peter rebuked Jesus in Matthew 16. And Jesus referred to him as Satan. He said, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are not setting your mind on God's interest, but man's." Time and time again, Peter was opening his mouth and inserting his foot. He was far from perfect. And yet, I think that's why we like Peter so much. It's because we can relate with Peter. We know that Peter had his share of blunders. And yet we know that Jesus chose him to be one of his followers. Jesus helped him to change, and Jesus wanted to use him in his kingdom's work, even after all of his blunders. And I think that gives us hope. It gives us encouragement. Because we know that we have a lot of blunders. We know that we have a lot of sin in our life. And Satan would like for us to think that God can't use people like that. He's looking for people who are a little bit better than that. And that's not the way it all works in the kingdom. God loves us as his children. And he's chosen us. And he's forgiven us. And he wants to use us in his kingdom's work. And so that's the kind of lessons I think that we can learn from Peter's life today. Let me give to you some points this morning that indicate to me that Peter was all in with Jesus. In spite of his blunders, in spite of his sin problems, he was all in with Jesus. First of all, he was willing to leave everything behind to follow Jesus. And we talked about that last week with Andrew. And I'll just give you a forewarning of what's coming up as we talk next week about James and John. And the week after that, we're going to talk about Matthew. You know what? Every one of those guys will say the same thing about. They were willing to give up everything to follow Jesus. They were willing to make this kind of sacrifice in their life. They were all in with Jesus. And he calls us to the same love and commitment. We are to love him first over everything. Just recently in a Bible study that I was a part of, one of the guys asked the group about John chapter 12, verse 25. I think maybe I have that on the screen. If not, I'll read it to you. That verse says this: "He who loves his life loses it. And he who hates his life in this world will keep it to life eternal." And we read that scripture, and I think it was Steve Long. Steve said, let's talk about this. I don't understand this concept of hating oneself. How can we hate our life and have any kind of self-worth at all? And I think that was a very good question. I think we need to understand this word hate in the original language of Scripture. Now, obviously, the Scripture is telling us in other places not to hate anyone. We're not even to hate our enemies. We're to love our enemies. And yet, in this passage of Scripture, it says that we need to hate our own life. And what in the world is that talking about? Well, this particular passage, this particular word in the original language, it means to love less. We are to love ourselves less than what we love Jesus. Now, I hope you heard that. It said we are to love ourselves less than what we love Jesus. Let me read to you from Luke chapter 14, verse 26. Jesus is talking here. In fact, he's talking about discipleship. And he says this: "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple." Now, if we just hang that verse out there all by itself, that can be a very disturbing verse if we don't understand the meaning of the word hate. And sometimes we can find a better understanding for a passage of Scripture if we look at what we would call a parallel passage. You know, particularly with the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they tend to cover the same sermon of Jesus or the same story of Jesus, and maybe one will word it a little bit differently than the other. And if you run across something, say in Luke's gospel in this case, if you look in Matthew's gospel at that parallel passage, maybe Matthew will explain it to us a little bit easier. And that's exactly what happens as we look at the parallel passage in Matthew chapter 10, verse 37. Jesus is saying this: "He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." Now, that's a lot easier, isn't it? Matthew's text is a lot easier than Luke's text. The word hate means to love less. We are to have Jesus as our first love. And Peter was all in because he was willing to love Jesus first. He was willing to leave behind his boats and his nets to follow Jesus. He said, I believe in you, and I want you to lead me. I want to follow you, Jesus. I want you as my first love. And I want to ask each of us here today, do we have anything or anyone that is first place over Jesus? If so, we need to give attention to that. We need to change that. Because if we're going to be all in with Him, we need to have Him as our first love. Here's the second point about Peter. He was willing to step out of the boat. You remember this story from Matthew chapter 14? He trusted Jesus enough to step out of the boat. Now, sometimes Peter gets a bad rap for sinking. And that happened when he took his eyes off of Jesus. That's easy to do, isn't it? That's why I said earlier, we can relate with Peter. Because we go through hardships. And if we're not careful, we'll find ourselves looking at the wind and the waves, and we can take our eyes off of Jesus. And that wave of cancer is a pretty big wave if that hits us. And that wave of financial stress and crisis in our life, that's a pretty big wind and wave that can hit us hard, and we can take our eyes off of Jesus pretty easily when that happens. Or to lose a loved one, that's a pretty big wave. And the wind is hitting us full force when that happens. And if we're not careful, we can be overwhelmed by that wind and that wave, and we can take our eyes off of Jesus. We see the wind and the wave more than what we see Him. And Jesus is saying, keep your eyes on me. I will get you through the storm. I will get you to the finish line. And that's what we're all after, isn't it? We want to hit that finish line. We want to hear the words, well done, good and faithful servant. We want heaven for our eternity. We want to hit the finish line. And Jesus says, keep your eyes on me. I'll get you there. I'll get you through the storms along the way. I learned a new word just recently. Do you know what a coxswain is? It's the person in a racing shell who is giving instruction to the rowers. Now, if you watch the Olympics, you see these kinds of boat races, which can have some pretty exciting finishes. And you see in this picture, the two boats at the bottom, there's fellas on the left side of the boat. They don't have oars in their hand. And they're facing those who are doing the oaring. And that person in that position is called the coxswain. And the coxswain is the one who is shouting instructions to those who are doing the rowing. He's the guide. He is that person who is helping them get to the finish line by giving them instructions that will keep them in a straight line. And notice the rowers have their eyes on the coxswain, and it's very important that they heed the instructions of the coxswain. If they take their eyes off of the coxswain and start looking to the left or to the right, what's going to happen? They're going to get all out of whack. They're out of harmony with one another. And the boat won't go in the straight line that it needs to towards the finish line. And Jesus is able to get us through the storms that come our way. And He is wanting to help us to the finish line. And it is our responsibility to keep our eyes on Him, to trust Him. And storms, boy, they hit hard against us all along the pathway of life, and we have got to keep our eyes on Him to get us through the storm, to get us to the finish line. And Jesus called for Peter to step out of the boat, to have faith in Him, to be able to walk on water. I don't know if as he stepped out of the boat, did he do this, a little tiptoe, you know, onto the water to see for sure, or did he just jump out of the boat? I'm not quite sure. The scripture doesn't tell us, but we need to give Peter the credit that is due him, because he's the only one that stepped out of the boat. All the other disciples, they sat there. They weren't getting out of the boat. But Peter got out of the boat, and he kept his eyes on Jesus, and he walked on water. He did the impossible. He was getting through the storm, but then he took his eyes off of Jesus, didn't he? He started looking at the wave that's coming, the swell coming against him, and he's feeling that wind against his face. And it is so easy to get our eyes away from Jesus and to look at the storm that we're in the middle of, and that's when we sink. But we have to remember, Jesus was right there. He was right there with Peter, and he reached out a hand to him, and he brought him back up out of the water. And Jesus is that way. He loves us. He says, I'll never leave you. I will never abandon you. I will be with you in the storms of life. Keep your eyes and your faith on me. Let me give to you another point about Peter that indicates he was all in. He was willing to confess Jesus as the Christ. We call it the great confession. It's found in Matthew 16. Jesus asked his disciples, who do people say that I am? And they had answers to him as to what others were saying about him. And then he turned the question towards them. And more directly, he said, who do you say that I am? And it was Peter who stepped forward and said, You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are the Messiah. That's what he was saying. You are the promised one. You are the one whom the prophets spoke about through the centuries before. We've been waiting for you, and we believe that you are the one. That's what Peter was saying. He never had to question where Peter stood. Oftentimes, he was the first to speak up. Sometimes it was bad, and other times it was good. Well, this time, he hit the nail on the head. You could say it this way. He hit a home run. He hit a grand slam. He said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said to him, blessed are you, Peter. Flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven revealed it to you. You talk about a shining moment for Peter. This was indeed a shining moment as he acknowledged Jesus to be the Messiah. And this is the confession that we ask you to make. If you want to give your life to Jesus, if you want to be baptized into Jesus, we ask you simply to give that confession ahead of the baptism. And usually I'll ask the question in this way to you individually. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? And give you that opportunity to make this same confession that Peter made in Matthew 16. Yes, yes, I do believe that Jesus is the Christ. He is the Savior. He is the way to salvation, and I believe He is the Son of God. It's the great confession. And I hope that all of us here, if we've not made it yet, I hope that you will make it. I hope that you will make that confession of Jesus to be the Son of God and the Messiah. Jesus said, "Everyone who confesses me before men, I will also confess him before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny him before my Father who is in heaven." It's important that we confess Jesus to be the Son of God, that we not be ashamed of that. And let's make sure, too, that it's not just verbal confession, but that our life is beginning to make that confession as well, that our life and our words are meshing together. And when we say, "I do believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God," that people can look at us and say, "Yeah, I think they're serious." Yesterday, I have to tell you, I can't talk about this without a lot of emotion, because Troy Pyatt has been such a good friend to me through the years. And I was in his home yesterday, and Troy is on his deathbed. He's got brothers and sisters coming in to see him, to say goodbye to him, and I'm sitting there. And a lot of Troy's family is not Christian. I wish you could have heard Troy witnessing to him. I wish you could have heard him giving testimony to his brothers about Jesus. He said, you know what I was like before I gave my life to Jesus. You know. And you know how Jesus changed me. And he said, I want to see you on the other side. I'm going there pretty quick. I want to see you there." What a testimony. They cannot deny the change that's taken place, the before Jesus and the after Jesus in Troy's life. That's what I'm talking about. There needs to be a conversion. That's what it's called, is a conversion. And it doesn't happen overnight. I'm not saying you step into the water and you're baptized and you come up and you're just your language is all changed up and everything's different. No, that's the start. That's the being a baby in Christ, and then you grow and you change as He has a hold of you. But it does need to start the process. And it certainly happened with Peter, the before and the after. He was all in with Jesus. I'll give you one final point. Peter understood repentance. What did he do after he had denied Jesus? He went out and he wept bitterly. His response was a lot different than Judas's response. You know, I don't know that his sin was any different. It wasn't any better or worse. They both sinned. Judas betrayed Jesus. Peter denied 3 times that he even knew Jesus. And yet their response after their sin was entirely different. Judas went out and hung himself. Peter, on the other hand, got out on his hands and knees and his face, and he repented. He asked for forgiveness. He was genuinely sorrowful. He confessed his sin with tears. I think the church needs more repentant sinners. We need more sorrow for our sin and brokenness. Too often we take this kind of attitude. We shrug our shoulders. We say, it's really not that big a deal. What are you getting all up in the air about? It's just a little lie. It's just a cuss word. I mean, everybody talks like that. You have to admit it was a funny joke, even though it was dirty. It was funny. And they did me wrong. They treated me like dirt. I have a right to be bitter. It's not that big of a deal. And yet, in God's eyes, it is a huge deal. Every sin is a huge deal because it's what sent his son to the cross. It's why Jesus suffered the way he did. Our quote-unquote little lies is what sent him to the cross, and our cussing and our bad thoughts and our looking at the wrong things on the computer or on our telephone. All of that is what sent him to the cross, and it's a big deal. And we need more repentance. We need to look at sin the way he looks at it. You know, if we're not having his eyes and his heart and his mind towards sin, then our heart gets calloused towards it. And we get on this downward spiral. And the less we hear from the Holy Spirit. God is looking for a soft heart. He's looking for a repentant heart. He wants us to hate our sin the way he hates it. All sin. Not thinking that there's, you know, a categorization of sin where there's big sins and little sins. No, there's not. It's all bad. And he hates it all. And he wants to forgive us. And he will forgive us. Just as he forgave Peter. But we need to have that broken heart. Do you want to be all in with Jesus? Then be that person who has a repentant heart before God. And there is so much more that we could say about Peter being all in, but we're completely out of time. But this is what I want to conclude with. This is the hope of the gospel. This is the second chance of the gospel. When Jesus had risen from the dead that Sunday morning, and the women went to the tomb, and they found the tomb empty, and there were two angels there, and they had a message to the women. You remember what the message was? Go tell my disciples and Peter. Do you hear that? Go tell my disciples and Peter that I'm alive. You know what I get from that? It was Jesus saying, Peter, I've not given up on you at all. I've heard your prayer. I've seen your tears. I've sensed your broken heart. And Peter, you are forgiven. And Peter, I want to use you. I want you to be the leader of my Whole church, I want you to lead. I want you to preach. Because I am not finished with you yet. And that's the hope of the gospel. That when we fall out with our ugliness, our sinfulness, when we do the wrong thing and we go to Him in repentance, His arms are like this to us. He opens His arms and He says, "Welcome back, child. I've got work for you to do yet." Good news. Amen. Let's pray together. God, thank you for Peter. Thank you for the hope of the gospel. If there's anyone here today who's never confessed Jesus to be the Son of God, we're looking forward to hearing that from their lips. And to see them willing to step into the waters of baptism and be washed clean. Lord, we want to be used by you. Thank you that you use sinners who are made righteous by the blood of the Lamb. In Jesus' name, amen.